This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, instead of coming right to the microphone upon returning from the Mile High Conference, Chris O'Brien decided that he ought to get a chest cold instead. No, it got him, I guess he got himself a little run down. And he's been able to get these colds lately in the last year or two since quitting smoking. So I don't know if that's counterproductive or not, but he's a little bit under the weather. And we'll be back next week when our friend Nick Redfern will be here to talk about shape shifters. So we'll deal with that next week. This week we'll deal with a lot of other subjects and not much about UFOs except for this. Our guest co-host is Paul Kimball, back again because we like him. And our guest is Dr. Scott Kalbaba, and he's an internist, a real medical doctor, and he's responsible for bringing up a book to us called Physicians Untold Stories, Miraculous Experiences Doctors Are Hesitant to Share with Their Patients or Anyone. It's about miracles the doctors have reported, him and 26 other physicians. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay, Paul, we got this story in Huffington Post from Leslie Kane. And it's about Tom DeLong, someone we don't take very seriously, but now he's got this latest disclosure gig in some kind of press conference, and it turned out to be a lot less than we expected. What did you hear about it?
Nothing more than what you read on the Huffington Post. Honestly, as I told folks last week, UFOs aren't, no pun intended, really on my radar screen these days. It's making films about other things. I kind of keep track of it, and so I read it. And I thought, well, this sounds familiar. And it sounds, what did I put on Facebook? I said, it's the Roswell slides with tech, you know, attached. So it's almost like the Aztec case will develop this really cool tech with the Roswell slides, which is, you know, this is at some point or another bogus. Now, is Tom DeLong sincere? He probably is. I remember once about 10 years ago being at a conference in the U.S., and I think it was Robbie Williams, the British pop star. Big thing. It was the International UFO Symposium. And Nick Pope was there. And Robbie Williams was flying in his private jet or something. And he was fascinated by UFOs. And Dan Aykroyd, same kind of thing. There are celebrities. There are people in all walks of life that are interested in UFOs. Celebrities, if they, like Tom DeLong, even if they're sort of B or C list celebrities, sometimes have the resources and the connections to maybe push it further in the public realm than somebody like me could. So what? At the end of the day, their entire thing seems to be basically their crowdfunding, as far as I can tell, to try and start something up that is going to create these new technologies or whatever. And I seem to vaguely remember Stephen Greer making that same pitch 10 or 12 years ago. And I sort of remember Roger Lear making the same kind of pitch too. And in his case, he wanted to make a film about aliens and all this sort of stuff. He was looking for money to do it. It's craziness. These things come and go. This one, people seem to be taking a bit more seriously only because there's a celebrity attached. And we live in a celebrity-obsessed culture, unfortunately, especially you folks south of the border. But we're not free of guilt up here in Canada either. And so you put Tom DeLong's name on it, and a lot of the same people that you see show up over the years in a lot of these kinds of things, dealing with quote-unquote disclosure, and then you put Leslie Kean's name on the byline because people seem to think that she's credible. I do not, but I suppose on the sliding scale of ufology, she's more credible than, I don't know, Rich Dolan or Stephen Greer or whoever, but it's a sliding scale. That's it. Nobody within ufology is going to care. The main people in the mainstream aren't going to care about this, honestly. It's going to come and go pretty quick because the attention span these days, I think, of people who have heard this kind of thing before is pretty short. The DeLong factor might give it some legs, but my interest is already past. Most of the people, say, on my Facebook feed who I know are interested in UFOs, they seem to have already kind of laughed at it, and they're moving on. So, you know, that's kind of my take on it. And the other thing I would say, Gene, is there's nothing to disclose, which I know will anger some of your forum users, but that's my point of view. There is literally nothing to disclose. If there was, we would have heard about it by now. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't UFOs. That doesn't even mean there aren't space aliens visiting planet Earth or have visited planet Earth. I don't know. I know, and I mean, I'm just saying I know, I'm convinced beyond any reasonable doubt that if whatever they represent, there isn't a secret Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of vault where the government's been hiding that information for 70 or 75 years, and we're not reverse engineering technology and all that sort of stuff. So everything that the disclosure movement talks about, I just think is bogus. And in fact, takes us away from a much more interesting conversation, of which I think UFOs could be part of. So could ghosts and all sorts of these paranormal things that we're going to, including talking to Scott about things like near-death experiences and possibly what might be out there and how that all works, or even miracles, however you want to call it. All of these things, you know, we might be dealing with something that's all tied together in a much more interesting and fascinating way than space aliens in a 1950s flying saucer puttering their way here from Proxima Centauri, which I don't think is the case. So that's my take, and your forum users are well familiar with that by now. Feel free to have at it, folks. There you go.
You see, I'm accused so often of keeping my head in the 1950s. And my point has always been is that in the UFO field, we haven't left the 1950s. We're hearing the same arguments, and now it's Proxima Centauri or Zeta Reticuli as opposed to Mars or Venus. But very little has changed, and that is the argument. Very little progress has been made. And the Tom DeLong thing is just another one of these representations of we're going to disclose something. And it never, ever seems to happen. It's the promise repeated every year. And the boy has cried wolf just too many times. And who's going to believe it? They've been crying wolf since the 1950s. You see, my head's back in the 1950s again. But I don't want to be unfair to our guest, Dr. Scott Kalbaba. Scott, have you any interest in UFOs before we get to your book?
Not a great deal of interest. Thanks, Gene.
Thank God. No, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
I think there's probably something else. I think there's probably something out there that, you know, there's so many stars, it's hard to imagine that there isn't some life out there somewhere with billions and billions of stars. But I'm not that into UFOs, so sorry.
Well, then, we're not going to talk about it, except for one thing I'm going to mention. And because we're going to mention one of the cases, at least one of the cases here would be like a near-death experience. And that is one of our friends, Red Pill Junkie, his real name is Miguel, who's a researcher and blogger, wrote an article for my newsletter and has talked about this in other places, about a resemblance between near-death experiences and UFO abduction cases.
Hmm.
So that's interesting. It doesn't mean that near-death experiences mean we've met E.T., it means that people claiming abductions have definitely not met E.T. But let me ask you here. This book that you presented, Physicians Untold Stories, what gave you the idea to put all this in a book?
I think there were two words that describe why I did this. And, Gene, with all the work that it took me to write this, the two words are temporary insanity. When I've got a busy job, I've got seven kids to take care of, would be temporary insanity. I started out thinking this would be a six-month project, a very simple, and it dragged out to about 4 years. And, you know, there is something about these stories that I really just had to tell, because these are such moving and emotional stories that I almost had to write this book. And what got me, one of the things that got me going, I listened to a couple of stories from docs. Now, docs don't, these are ordinary docs that I'm in the book. And docs don't talk to each other about these kinds of spiritual and near-death experiences very much at all.
So I suppose it takes one doc to know what to say to another doc. This is getting very fascinating. And listeners, we have lots of case histories to bring to you throughout this episode. Let's break it here and then we'll continue. With Dr. Scott Kalbaba, our guest co-host is Paul Kimball. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply, or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now, earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters, starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available. Comfortable interiors and state-of-the-art air filtration systems. Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4BUNKER now, or visit atlassurvivalshelters.com.
For P-150, P-150GA, P-150NY, P-150OK, P-150TN, C-250A, C-250E, C-250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-972-6540. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-972-6540. That's 1-800-972-6540. 1-800-972-6540.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled magmiracle.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue, but first a reminder before we talk to Scott about the book and about the doctors he's talked to. We have a second radio show called After the Paracast, and we do amazing things on there because it's a continuation sometimes of this show. It's a separate show, separate interviews. So, for example, we talked to a guy named Monty Shriver about the Aztec New Mexico case a few months ago. an unheralded episode where he, as someone who lived in Aztec when this alleged flying saucer crashed in 1948, can tell you he never heard anything about it. And when he went to his class reunion, he asked everybody he knew. And they never heard anything about it. Listen to that episode, but you have to be a member of the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com to learn more about After the Paracast. We also give you the ad-free version of this show. And Paul Kimball's got some exclusive stuff he's going to be sending up in the next little bit of time. Dr. Scott Kalbaba is a medical doctor, an internist, and he is responsible for putting together this book called Physicians Untold Stories. And Scott, before we broke, you were telling us here that you're talking to other doctors about things they don't generally share. How'd that come about?
I'm not sure why a couple doctors approached me. I've been in practice a long time. I've never heard any unusual stories up until just before I started to get interested in writing this book. At that time, two doctors came to me with these really, really unusual stories. I'll tell you one real quick. It's Steve Heim is an orthopedic surgeon. It's a back surgeon. And we were having breakfast. And toward the end of the breakfast, he said, you know, I just have to tell you this story. I don't know why, but this last weekend I was skiing in Colorado with my wife and my wife's sister. And he's an expert skier. He does these triple black diamond runs all the time. And he's an expert skier, as is his wife.
I do not ski, and I have no idea what you just said.
Okay. Those are the runs where you look down and you say, I'm going to die if I take this run. Okay. That's the kind of run he's on. This is an unfamiliar mountain to him. He got to the top of the mountain. They were ready to start skiing down, and the blizzard hit. So the wind started to come up. The temperature dropped about 40 degrees. The snow was coming down sideways and upside down and all over the place. They could hardly see anything in front of them, but they had to ski down the mountain. So they start skiing down the mountain. They come to about halfway down, they come to a grove of trees, pine trees, and they had to go to the right or the left. Dr. Heim went to the right. The girls happened to go to the left. Dr. Heim thought they were all going the same direction. And as soon as he realized that, he decided to ski back through this grove of trees to get back to where the girls were. Well, all of a sudden, while he's skiing through this grove of trees, he has this really unusual feeling in his chest, like there's something dreadfully wrong here. And he couldn't understand what was wrong. And all of a sudden, everything became very quiet. Despite the snow coming down, the wind blowing, he could hear his breath. He could hear the snow under his skis. And he felt like he had to do something that had life and death proportions, and he wasn't sure what it was. So he stopped skiing. Now, he knows that the girls are waiting for him on the other side of the grove of trees, and he can't see them. But he stopped skiing. He sunk down 5 feet of powder snow, and he's standing there wondering what the heck he's doing. He took off his skis, and then he has this crazy idea that he has to walk up the mountain in the opposite direction from where the girls are waiting. So he's walking and climbing and walking up the mountain. Has no idea what he's doing, but he still has this feeling of dread in his chest and there's still this eerie silence that he can't get over. He can hear the crunch of the snow under his boots, and it's just really, really quiet, despite the snow coming down, the wind blowing. And he comes to a big pine tree in his path, and there's a thing called the tree well, which is where the snow comes down to the base of the tree and then goes up to the 5 feet of snow. And he's standing in front of this tree wondering what the heck he's doing. And he looks down into this tree well, and he suddenly realizes why he's there. There's a shape of a body under the tree, covered with snow. Now, he's a trauma surgeon, so what better person to happen to across a body in the middle of the woods than a trauma surgeon? So he brushes off his face. He looks like he's dead. He's got a gray face. Doesn't look like he's breathing. But a good trauma surgeon goes farther than that. He reached down to his neck and felt his carotid artery to see if he had a pulse. And sure enough, he had a thready pulse, but it was a pulse. He knew he was shocky, hypothermic, you know, almost a death's door. So he went into trauma mode. He brushed all the snow off. He knew exactly what to do. Started to yell for help. Help! Help! One of the last skiers that was coming down the mountain heard his cry, came to his side, and he said, what can I do? And Steve said, go to the nearest phone, or as soon as you can get to the ski patrol, get him up here. This guy's almost dead. So the guy took off, and he was ski down, and about 20 minutes later, he could see the light from a snowmobile pulling a gurney that came up to his side, loaded this unconscious skier onto the gurney and took him back down to the lodge where an ambulance was waiting and took him off to the hospital. By this point, Steve was shivering and cold and adrenaline because he'd taken off both of his jackets to cover this guy and keep him warm, put his jackets back on, got back to where the girls were still waiting for him on the other side of the grove of trees, and skied down the mountain to the lodge. there he got his special reward, a cup of hot chocolate. The next day, he called up the hospital and find out what had happened to this poor unconscious skier. The skier was awake. He was alive. The orthopedic surgeons that were taking care of him at the time were complimenting him on the great job he did splinting his leg in the field because he had a broken leg. And Steve took a tree branch and some of his clothing and splinted his leg. So he was fine. He was going to live. There was no serious problem at all. And so Steve said to me, this is more than just a coincidence. That had to be some kind of divine intervention. Somebody upstairs was looking out for this guy. And then he said to me something that was very interesting. Two people were saved that day. And I said, what do you mean two people were saved that day? He said, well, the skier was saved, but I was saved too. And I said, what do you mean? I don't understand what you mean. And he said, about 2 years ago, I was skiing with my father. And my father was in Michigan, and it was a cross-country skiing trail. And it was pretty vigorous. My father arrested on the trail, had a heart attack and arrested. I ran him down to the first aid station where there was actually a doctor. And we did CPR for about an hour, and he died. I could never get over that. I'm a doctor. I'm used to saving lives and not losing lives. And I thought that I was responsible for his death. And when I found this skier on the mountain, when I saved his life, I realized that I can't save everyone and that somebody else is in charge of life and death and not me. My guilt disappeared, and now I feel much better about myself, and I can go on with life realizing that it was my father's time. But someone, and maybe my father was involved with this, gave me a second chance, and I was able to succeed and save this skier. And now two people were saved that day, the skier and me, and I'm coming back to life again. When I heard that story and a couple others, I thought, I've never heard a story like this before from a doctor. So I have patients that are in pretty much every occupation you can imagine. So I have a publisher that was the president of a publishing house. So I called them up and I said, let's have lunch. I'd like you to listen to a couple stories. I think they may have some merit to writing these down. But I need to know, and they could be totally worthless. So we had lunch, and I was telling him the stories, and I was eating, and I wasn't paying attention to what he was doing, and all of a sudden I realized he'd stopped eating. So I looked up, and he had tears in his eyes. He said to me, these are such moving stories. You have to publish this book. You have to write these stories and get more stories. The world needs to know that this is happening, and that this is happening to responsible people like doctors that don't normally believe in this kind of stuff. And so I did.
We got more to come with Dr. Scott Kolbaba and what inspired him to put this book together. With Gene and Paul, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with our guest co-host, Paul Kimball. I'm Gene Steinberg. Dr. Scott Kalbaba is with us, and we're talking about how they got the idea to put together this book called Physicians Untold Stories, and how a prospective publisher was just really excited and really emotionally impacted by the nature of these stories. But what I'm interested in here is the timing. I mean, you've been in practice for a few years. How suddenly does all this come together? Have you in the past ever been exposed to anything like this?
No. I go to church and I believe that there's something higher than us and so forth, but I had never been exposed to anything like this. And to have a couple docs just show up and tell me these amazing stories was just beyond what I could imagine. And then what I decided to do was to see if there are other doctors that had stories like this too, because I don't know. I really didn't know, and I've been with doctors for 30 years, and I'm a doctor to many doctors, and doctors take care of me and family and so forth, and we talk, but we never talk about these kinds of spiritual or emotional or near-death experiences at all. We talk about surgeries and potassium levels and who died and who's sick and so forth, but nothing like this. So I hung out in the doctor's lounge off and on for quite a while, and I'd ask doctors, I would say, I'm writing a book, so I committed myself so that I would be embarrassed if I didn't carry on with writing the book. And I said, I'm looking for stories about things that you can't explain scientifically. And I was literally blown away by the number of doctors that had these incredible experiences. I interviewed probably 200 doctors over the time, and I called doctors up that I knew from my residency program and other places. And so I talked to lots and lots of doctors. And there were a large number of stories. A large number of doctors had these stories. What I do, Gene, is I would talk with the doctor, get the story down quickly, because most doctors are pretty busy in the morning, for example, going to their rounds and so forth. And then I would call the doctor up at night and then get the details, and we'd go back and forth a half a dozen or more times to get the story straight. When I heard a story that gave me goosebumps or made me cry out of emotion, those were the stories I used for the book. The other ones weren't good enough. And there were lots of those kinds of stories, and I'm collecting even more now. And I was totally surprised. And what also surprised me was that the doctors would let me publish these stories, because they don't tell these stories to anyone because they're embarrassed that someone will think they're crazy.
You see, that's interesting. I'm looking at the back of the book, and all these doctors have their names there. I noticed
yes.
One was a military doctor. And we're looking here at really prestigious people, pillars of their community, revealing these things. Would you say that most of the doctors you talk to have at least one experience that just boggles the mind?
A lot of doctors have experiences, and the more gray hairs they had, the more experiences they had. So not every doctor would have an experience like this, and I'm sure not every doctor would wanted to tell me their experience. But a lot of doctors did. I kept on wondering, these are very successful doctors. They have a great practice. They're ordinary people. They're people that you and I would go to for whatever we have. And I do go to some of these doctors for various orthopedic things and whatever. And I kept thinking to myself, why would these doctors want to tell me these unusual, really strange stories in many cases that could get them in trouble? And the trouble they could get into would be patients would think that they're a little bit different and not go to them anymore. And they knew that too. And so I asked a number of doctors, why do you want me to not only tell these stories to me, but have me publish them for the whole world? And I think the bottom line and the reason that they did that is because, and that's another thing I learned about doctors. There's a whole host of things I learned about doctors. But this one thing is that most doctors, I think, are sappy do-gooders. I call them that in the book. They want to do good every day. They want to help someone. They want to cure cancer. They want to make sure that they do the best they can with every single patient that they take care of and help them in some way. And so I think their rationale was that these stories would help people that were in trouble, that had lost a loved one, that had a serious illness, or that just were struggling with their lives, realize there's something else out there that looks out for us. And you can call it what you want. Most of the doctors called it God. Some called it universe. Whatever you want to call it, there's some force that's higher than us that looks out for us and helps us in our day-to-day lives, and that there's a place where people go when they leave the earth. And this can be very reassuring and give people hope. And I think that's what the doctors wanted. They wanted to give people hope that there's something else, that when they're in serious trouble, they've got a friend that's higher than us.
Speaking as a scientist, a medical professional, are there any conventional explanations for any of these things that you know about?
Well, sure there are. I think there are some stories that could have some conventional explanations. Many stories not. The one like Steve Heim's story, for example, I don't know why he would ever have climbed that mountain and found that skier. But there are some stories in the book that could be the stretch of a coincidence. But really, most of them are pretty unusual and have no logical explanation that I can come up with.
Scott, a couple of questions popped to mind immediately.
Sure.
A couple of them, I think, are pretty short. Of all the doctors that you talk to, and you talk about yourself being a person of faith, you go to church and everything.
Yeah.
How many were talking from a Christian point of view? How mm-hmm. many were talking from, say, a Jewish point of view, a Buddhist, a Muslim, even maybe an agnostic? So was there a particular set within religious traditions or faith traditions that seemed to predominate, or was this something that you noticed was applicable to all elements of the sort of faith spectrum, if you will?
Interesting question. About half the doctors I talked to had a pretty solid belief. Most of them were Christian, not all of them. But about half the doctors didn't have a religion, didn't go to church, and couldn't say that they belonged to a Methodist or Catholic or Jewish or whatever. And what I found, though, is that most doctors that I talked with, especially the ones that had these stories, were profoundly spiritual. They knew that there was something else out there. And these stories, I think, helped solidify that faith. But they didn't practice a faith necessarily, and they didn't go to church, and they didn't talk about it. There's one doctor that I thought was the crustiest doctor I know that was kind of rough and gruff, and I won't mention who it is, but he was one of the most spiritual of all the doctors and really had a strong faith and strong caring for the people he took care of. And he was also one that did so many incredible things that helped the community and helped the children and helped others in so many incredible ways. So it was the whole spectrum, Kip Paul. It wasn't just all the religious doctors that came to me with these stories. Many very what we would consider unreligious doctors that didn't even have a religion, couldn't even say that they were Catholic or Methodist or whatever.
Sure, and I'm just as interested in the other side of the equation, which would be the patients or the people who were, you know, involved in these stories. So when your book, for instance, you talk about unconditional love and how prayer can have a real impact on folks and faith and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, do you think would you describe that to being particularized as many people in all faiths? I'm certainly not going to pick on any faith, mm-hmm. but all of them have elements within them that say, well, ours is the best and the rest, there's, you know, you're going somewhere else. Or do you think it is almost a universal concept in your experience when you talk to these folks and stuff that could apply to anyone? So you don't necessarily have to be a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or even a believer if you sort of maybe give yourself over or open yourself up in your moment of need.
That was my experience. My experience was that you don't have to be any particular religion or in any religion to have some of these things happen to you. So that people that prayed that were in desperate circumstances, for example, may not have a religion, but their prayer was still answered, or that they still got some divine intervention in their lives, even though they weren't very religious.
This is just getting more fascinating. It really is. Dr. Scott Kalbaba, Gene Steinberg, Paul Kimball, you're in
the Pentecost.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
That is really interesting when you talk about that, Scott, that there's no correlation between anyone's religion. It's how they behave and live their lives. And it doesn't matter what religion you have. And I think that argues more for being a good person than following any particular religion, don't you think?
I'm not sure what it is, Gene, to be honest with you. Most of these docs were really good people, and they believed in doing some good in the world, and like I said, they're sappy do-gooders. So I don't know what it is. All I know is, and the conclusion I came to, was that there's something else out there that helps us do the good things that we're trying to do, and may intervene in our lives in wonderful ways at times, whatever religion we are.
Isn't it also true that when you're suffering from a serious illness, sometimes your attitude towards it can help with the process of getting better?
No question about that. No question about that. My nurse came up with an interesting study. You know, they publish all these crazy studies, and the interesting study that they came up with, we're getting flu shots now, it's flu shot season. And she came up with a study that found that people that have a happy attitude when they get the flu shot have a higher antibody levels. So I don't think we can explain all these things, but there's no question that people that have a positive attitude do better always with cancers or any kind of illness. And so I think that's been proven multiple times.
So here's a question for you, Scott, and I hope it's 80 years until this happens to me, but I'm 50, so the odds are against that. I walk into a doctor's office, and the doctor gives me a bad diagnosis, whatever it is, and says, yes, you know, this could go good or it could go bad. I would suspect that most patients, I would certainly be one of them, would never even think about asking a doctor about, you know, I'd ask them, like, say it's cancer. Well, is it chemotherapy, radiation, surgery? What are my options here, doc? Prayer wouldn't be on my list of things to ask. Like, should I be doing this? In your practice, leaving aside the book for a second, the folks you talk to, but in your practice over all the years, how do you think doctors in general, or nurse practitioners or whatever, would receive that kind of question from a patient who maybe is facing a bad diagnosis? If they were to ask them, well, you know, what do you think, doc? Like, can you have that kind of conversation? That's the kind of conversation I'd have with my wife or my best friend. I'm having trouble imagining it with my doctor because we have this view of them as white-coated gods almost.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
As opposed to sometimes human beings who you can talk about the most spiritual or personal or emotional things. If you're a patient, put yourself in the patient's shoes. How do you have that conversation?
Most patients, for most doctors or for many doctors, that conversation would not go well. Doctors are busy. They want to get to the scientific end of things, and the spiritual thing is not on their radar, which is one of the reasons I wanted to write this book, because I want people, patients, and doctors both to realize that there is a different side. There's another side of medicine that's not scientific. There are spiritual things in medicine that help us heal, that a prayer may do amazing things. So I'm hoping that as this book gets out more and more, that more people can talk to their doctor about spiritual things and more doctors can talk to their patients about spiritual things.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, like I said, I hope it's 80 years until I have to have that conversation in any way, shape, or form. It's probably a lot closer than that. When you would talk to folks about these stories, I want to ask you specifically about the idea of near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stories have folks told you about that? What are your thoughts about that, if any? And how does that factor into all of this, the idea that people, when they're at the verge of death or perhaps even medically, you know, scientifically, we think they're dead, but then they come back, which does happen.
Yeah.
And they come back with these stories of where they've been or being able to look down and see themselves in the operating table and all that sort of stuff. What were your thoughts before maybe you started looking into all of this about something like that? And what would your thoughts about that be maybe now? And have they changed?
Before I wrote the book and before I heard some of these stories, I really didn't think too much about near-death experiences. I thought maybe, you know, it's like there's not enough blood to the brain and people get this tunnel, you know, and so forth. So I really wasn't convinced that was a reasonable thing. But after listening to these doctors that are my friends in many cases and doctors that I've known for many, many years that have had these experiences, and they say to me, I can't explain it. All I know is I had this experience. I've never had one since. And I know these are credible doctors that are just telling a story. And they're hesitant to tell the story because they're afraid that someone will think that they're a little bit on the edge. Mm-hmm. So after hearing these stories, I'm a believer. I believe that there's some really unusual things that happen. And one of the first stories that I heard that really got me interested in this was from Dave Mokel, who's a very respected orthopedic surgeon, has a very successful practice. He's a great guy. He's a family guy. And he came up to me on the floor of the hospital. He grabbed my arm and said, Scott, I've got this incredible story to tell you. And this was before I got interested in writing the book. And so I said, okay, Dave, tell me the story. And he said, well, I can't tell it till you hear it. And I said, why not? And he said, well, they might hear me. They'll think I'm crazy. So we went into an empty patient room, and he said, Mary is a mutual patient. She was on the operating table. I was going to do her ankle surgery, and she arrested when we gave her the antibiotic. It was a cephalosporin antibiotic we gave her, and she had an anaphylactic reaction. Heart stopped, eyes closed, not unconscious, no response to pain, no breathing. She was dead. And they called the code. Everyone rushed in from the other rooms. They started doing CPR, and one of the techs that was doing CPR that had red hair under his operating room cap was not doing CPR adequately enough, and Dave asked him to stop. And when he didn't, he pushed him aside, you know, because he was in charge of making sure that her life was going to be saved. So he started doing CPR, cracked a couple of her ribs, unfortunately, but he was doing adequate CPR. She was a big lady. And finally, after some adrenaline and a few other things, she came back, but she didn't come back to consciousness. And the next day, she finally woke up. A cardiologist took over, and it was clear that the antibiotic had caused her arrest. And when she was about ready to go home from the hospital, Dr. Mokel wanted to give her some instructions on how to take care of her ankle. And she interrupted him and said, thank you for saving my life. And Dave is a humble guy. He said, it was just a team effort. Everyone pitched in. And she said, no, I saw you push that guy aside with the red hair, and I saw you take over the CPR. And that's when I started to come back. And he said, well, he was just floored by that. He had to sit down. He couldn't even understand how this would happen. And she said, when I arrested, my spirit went up to the top of the room, and I could see everything that was happening in the operating room. And while I was doing that, I could see you paging Dr. Kolbaba, looking at the door, hoping that he would come to help assist with the code, and I wasn't in the hospital. I saw the guy with the red hair being pushed aside and stumble away, and she mentioned every minute little detail of that arrest and that resuscitation. And there were things that no one could have told her except that she was right there. And then she also said, when I was on the ceiling looking down, my grandmother came to me and told me that I hadn't been a very good person in my life, and I needed to be a good person. And if I was, then I would have a special place in heaven, that she would reserve a special place for me in heaven. Now, Mary was not a very nice person, I must say. She was my patient and Dr. Mogul's patient. And every time you saw her in the exam room, she'd have something bad to say about, you know, how you're late and how you didn't do the prescription correctly or whatever. But afterwards, she was a wonderful person. And she brought us cookies when she came in to the office, and she took care of her widowed father. And so it was like a Christmas carol where she totally changed. And I said to Dave, you know, who have you told this story to? And he said, well, no one. I told my wife, and that's it. I'm afraid to tell this story because people will think I'm crazy. So after hearing some very credible doctors tell some bizarre and interesting and unusual stories that they don't want to tell, I began to believe that there's, you know, it strengthened my faith that there's something else out there, that strange things can happen to us that we don't understand. And someday I think we will, but it leads me to believe even more strongly than I did before that there is a force, there's a God, there's something higher than us that looks out for us and may help in unusual and wonderful ways.
Now, this is particularly interesting because it's not just somebody who is dead briefly. Maybe you think they have hallucinations or something. This is somebody literally levitating and seeing what's going on, and what they see going on is accurately described.
Exactly, Gene, and she really couldn't have listened to someone tell her. These are such minute details that she had to observe them herself.
Now, I'm going to ask you in our next segment then, Scott, were there any other cases of a similar nature where somebody's either floating above the fray or at least can capture information they would not otherwise know? We have more with Drs. Scott Kalbabop and Gene Steinberg and Paul Kimball. You're in
the cast of Para.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temps from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code RADIO30 at the 3 times for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.